have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge.
There's a troop ship just leaving Bombay, bound for the blimy shore. Heavily laden with time-expired men, bound for the land they adore. There's many a bloke who has just missed the boat. There's many a lad signing on. But there'll be no promotion this side of the ocean. So cheer up, my lads, bless them all. Bless them all, bless them all. The long and the short and the tall. Bless all the sergeants, the top kickers too. Bless all the corporals. Bless you, for we're saying goodbye to them all. As up the gangway we crawl. No ice cream or cookies for stout-hearted rookies. So cheer up, my lads, bless them all.
They say that in camp you can have a swell time. We've heard it all before.
5 in the morning and you're kicked out of bed to scrub up the barracks room floor.
A private has really no privacy now. We're all behind the eight ball.
Move over.
No ice cream and cookies for flat-footed rookies. So
cheer up, my lads, bless them all.
Bless them all.
Bless them all. Bless them all. Bless them all.
Long and the short and the tall. Bless all the blondies and all the brunettes. Each man is happy with whatever he gets. For we're giving the eye to them all. Those who attract and appall. Bless Maggie and Susie. Who's gonna be choosy when you're in camp? Bless them all.
This is Bruce Kaplan welcoming you back to another episode of Radio Masterpieces. Tonight we have two wonderful mysteries for you. The second mystery is by a great writer named Cornell Woolrich. Woolrich, if you saw the movie Rear Window with Jimmy Stewart, made back in the 50s, and starred the villain Raymond Burr, who later became very famous on the Perry Mason series. Woolrich was the one who came up with the idea about Rear Window, and he always came up with unique story ideas. Radio Masterpieces has just been on a short time, and if you, the listeners, would like to reach me, just write to bruce@radiomasterpieces.com, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you have. I'd love to get your input about the kind of mysteries you would enjoy listening to. We always like to play a couple songs from the nostalgic era of the 1940s, and after that, tonight, we're going to have two mysteries, and then we're going to have a very, very short mystery, too, that's about 3 minutes long. We're just going to kind of be a hotbed of wonderful nostalgia from the 40s and early 50s. Well, now, let's enjoy our great programs. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is Bruce at RadioMasterpieces.com.
Listen. Nightmare.
Dodge, Homicide Division.
Clip, this is Vince.
Ah, hello, kid. What's on your mind?
Clip,
trip. I've got to see you now, as soon as possible.
Look, kid, I'm working. What's so important? You can't tell her on the phone.
Cliff, I think I killed a man last night. I don't know whether I dreamed it or it actually happened. That's why I've got to see you.
You killed somebody? I can't believe it. Not you, Vince. Well, listen, meet me in the office in 15 minutes. Whatever you do, don't tell anybody else about this. Go ahead, Vince. Tell me some more about this dream of yours.
Well, after that clip, all I remember is the white face. The face of a woman. Beautiful, but false somehow. You see, we were in a room with nothing but doors. 8 doors, frame to frame, with no wall space between. Well, I opened one of the doors, and suddenly someone rushed at me. We struggled, and he forced me to the floor. As we fought, he said to the woman, "Hand me that knife." Well, I raised my hand to defend myself, and suddenly I felt the handle of something. I realized the woman had put the knife into my hand by mistake. And then I...
Then you stabbed him.
Yeah. Then I stabbed him. Well, after that, the woman disappeared, and I felt I had to hide the body. Well, behind one of the 8 doors, there was a closet. I propped the body inside, and I locked the door. Then I went out of the house. That's horrible. I can't get it out of my mind.
But what makes you think any of this actually happened? It's an unpleasant dream, sure, but it's not unusual. Lots of people dream they kill someone.
But when you dream, do you wake up with big scratches on your wrist like this one?
What are you asking me to believe? You got up in your sleep and you killed somebody? A scratch on your wrist proves nothing.
I admit that, but then when I got out of bed this morning, I found this button.
Now, wait a minute. You're not going to tell me that button came off in your hand while you were wrestling with that guy in the dream.
That's the way it happened.
That I refuse to believe. It came off your shirt.
I could never afford pearl buttons. You know that. Not real pearl.
Now, listen to me, Vince. I don't want to hear any more of this. If I weren't your brother-in-law, I'd lock you up and call a psychiatrist.
How do you think all this makes me feel? Cliff, if it wasn't for the key, I could forget the whole thing.
Key? Key? What key? I suppose it's something else from your dream. Now, stop it, Vince. I don't want to hear any more.
That's right. Go ahead. Get sober. But no matter how angry you get, it doesn't destroy the reality of this key. Look at it. You never see a key like this these days. It's fretted, it's full of scrollwork, made of brass, old-fashioned, but nevertheless real. And in the dream, if it was a dream, that's the key I used to lock the body in the closet. What's there left to think? Only this, there's somewhere there's a door that this key belongs to. And behind that door, there's a dead man, and I don't know where. My Lord, I don't know where. Or who he is, nor how and why it happened.
Now, look, kid. It's just one of those cockeyed dreams that happen to people, that's all. But if it'll make you feel any better, you can go in the teletype room and watch the reports, Vince. Every crime committed in this state is reported on those machines. Maybe you can identify yourself with some criminal and get this thing off your chest. I'll join you later. You given up yet?
Don't be funny, Cliff. There's one here that's possible. A stabbing in a town called Clarksburg.
Clarksburg?
Yeah.
There's no transportation up there. You never did learn how to drive a car. You'd really need supernatural aid to kill somebody up there.
Now, wait a minute, Cliff. Here's some more coming in on that stabbing in Clarksburg. It's a description.
Killer, 5'9", weight 150, brown hair. Wearing a yellow and green sweater under a brown suit. Hey, Vince, you wear a yellow and green sweater, don't you?
Don't be coy. You gave me that sweater for Christmas.
Maybe it's only a coincidence, but you're about 5'9", weigh about 150. Ah, that couldn't possibly have been you, Vince.
Who are you talking for, yourself? I know I found that key and the button in the pocket of my brown suit. You're not kidding anybody. You want to know just as much as I do. Come on, let's get started for Clarksburg.
That lousy rain must be a cloudburst.
I can't see a thing. This windshield wiper's broken. Cliff, you know where we are?
We've been lost for the past 5 minutes. I don't even remember how we got on this road.
Well, I'm going to roll down the window. Getting wet's better than crashing into something. Hey, Cliff.
Yeah?
Take the next road to the left. That'll get us to Clarksburg.
How do you know it'll get us to Clarksburg? I thought you said you'd never been out this way before.
Well, I don't know how I know. All of a sudden, everything looks familiar to me, as if I'd been over this same road before.
I just know you've got to turn left at the next road. Stop here! Stop here!
Hey, what's the big idea? You're trying to kill somebody grabbing a brake that way?
That house, Cliff. There with the big porch. That's the house with the 8-room door.
How do you know that's the house? Thought you said you'd never been out here before.
I've never been here before in my life. Unless...
unless it happened in your dream, is that it? Well, I think this is all crazy. We'll soon know for sure. Come on, we're going in and see whether there's an 8-doored room or not.
Funny, the front door wasn't locked, Cliff.
Never mind that. How do you know the 8-doored room is upstairs?
I just know, that's all. Cliff, I think it's this room right here. This is it. This is the place, all right. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5...
8 doors. Where's that key?
It's right here in my pocket. You'll have to get it out. I can't. My hands are all wet. Perspiration.
Stop acting like a baby. You're sweating all over. There's the key. Now, which door?
That one, I think. There's nothing there.
Not now, there isn't. But there was something there.
What?
Look. There's blood on the wall.
Oh, Lord. Now, do you believe me? Now, do you understand that I wasn't joking when I told you about my dreams?
Sure, I believe you. I believe you dreamed you killed somebody and stuffed them in the closet there. I believe you never saw this place before. That you intuitively knew which road to take and which house to come to. What do you take me for, a dope?
I wasn't lying to you, Cliff. Honest, I wasn't lying.
You came to me for help, didn't you? But you didn't have guts enough to come clean to say, Cliff, I went out to a place last night and killed a guy for such and such a reason. No, you cook up a dream trying to take advantage of me because I'm married to your sister.
No, Cliff.
Abusing my gullibility because I like you. Making a fool out of me.
Cliff, I wasn't lying to you. Everything happened just as I told you it did. How I happen to know this house was here, I don't remember. You've got to believe me.
Shut up. The dream's over now and baby's awake. You're going to start all over from scratch, you and me. I'm going to get the facts out of you.
Please, Cliff, let go of my shoulder. You're hurting me.
What were you doing here last night?
I never was here before. I never saw it until I came here with
Don't
you.
Don't lie. Every time you lie, you're going to get something like this.
Oh, please, Cliff, I'm half crazy already without you beating me.
Who was the guy you did it to? What was the thing?
I tell you, I don't know. I don't know.
Are you going to answer me, Vince?
I can't. You're asking me things I can't answer.
Who was the guy? Why did you kill him? I've handled close-mouthed guys before. You're going to tell me if I have to slap it out of you. Right in this spot where you killed somebody else.
Cliff, please, please don't hit me again.
What was that?
It sounded like a door slam.
Then there's somebody else in this house. Which door did we come in?
I don't know. One of the 8.
All right, you guys, we've got you covered. Back up against that door there. One false move and I'll drop you.
Haven't you found what you're looking for yet?
Yeah, I guess I've seen enough. This stuff in your wallet identifies you. Cliff Dodge, Homicide Division. Why didn't you say you're a detective?
It's nobody's business.
Okay, okay. Wagner's my name. I'm the sheriff around here. When I see people monkeying around a house where a murder's just been committed...
Murder? You found the body?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, there were 2 murders. A man was killed and stuffed in that closet over there. They found the other body outside. A woman. Wasn't dead when she was found, but she was dying. Run over by a car. Deliberately. The car was run back and forth over her body. She said a few things before she died. Told us all about the other body in the closet. And gave us a pretty good description of the killer.
She said the same person murdered the man in the closet and deliberately ran over her body with a car?
No, but what else is there to conclude? Poor Mrs. Fleming. She owned this house, expected her husband home from South America tonight. She was a flirt, but even so, a very charming woman.
You don't happen to have a picture of this woman, this Mrs. Fleming, do you?
There's one in the next room. That door behind you.
Open the door, Vince.
I can't, Cliff, I can't.
Open the door.
Please, Cliff.
Open the door!
That's her, that big picture on the left. Pretty, wasn't she?
Cliff, that's her.
Well, now what's the matter with him?
He's fainted. Can't stand the sight of people who've been murdered, even if it's only a picture. Give me a hand with him, will you? Now, do you feel any better, kid?
Yeah, I feel all right. Cliff, that picture, it was the same woman. The woman from the dream.
Also, the woman who was run over and over with an automobile.
But I can't drive, Cliff. You know I can't drive.
Yeah, if it hadn't been for that, I'd have turned you over to Wagoner for murder.
Did the sheriff leave?
Yeah, he left. But I still don't believe that stuff about a dream. Are you sure you didn't leave something out? Some small detail?
No. I told you everything, Cliff. I was tired. I went to bed early. I fell asleep. That is right after Mr. Berg closed my door.
Berg? You didn't mention any Mr. Berg before.
Well, he moved into our rooming house about a month ago.
Why did he come into your room?
Well, the lights went on a blink. I remember he was carrying a candle.
How was Berg holding that candle?
Well, the flame was right in front of his eyes. I remember staring at it. I was very tired, Cliff. I don't remember everything.
And Berg, he said you're very tired, didn't he?
Yeah, now that you mention it, he did say that.
Good. Now, have you ever seen this picture?
No. No, but the man looks familiar. Say, that looks like Berg. I never saw him so well dressed, but that's Berg, all right.
I found this picture in this room.
Here? In this room? You found Berg's... What are you driving at?
Sense, reason, logic, sanity. The man you identify as Berg also happens to be Mr. Fleming, the husband of the woman who was killed last night.
Berg is Fleming and Fleming is Berg? Now I'm really going out of my mind.
It's simple to a flatfoot. I figure that Fleming pretended he went to South America. He took a room in your rooming house under the name of Berg. And tonight he's pretending to return from South America. At least Wagner said he's expected.
And last night Fleming came back here and murdered his wife? But who killed the other one? The man?
You did. But you didn't know you were doing it.
Oh, I did kill someone after all. I am a murderer. I still don't understand how it happened.
All right, kid, relax. Because we're going to find out tonight.
Find out?
Right. Now, if Fleming comes home, as his wife expected him to do, you're going to be waiting in this room for him. Waiting with a gun.
That won't do any good.
It might after you've learned a few answers. Now, I'm going to tell you exactly what to say to Fleming, word for word. You might not understand, but you're going to memorize the things I tell you to say, word for word.
Memorize?
Yeah, because your life depends on it.
Cliff, you're not going to leave me here alone, are you, Cliff?
There'll be nothing I can do to help you, kid. If everything goes right, you'll come out of this scot-free. If anything goes wrong, that's the end. Now, Fleming will probably come up those stairs at the far end of the hall. So you'd better stand over here. The first thing to remember, let him speak first.
How did you get here?
You showed me the way, didn't you?
You remembered coming here? You're lying. Who brought you here? Who came with you?
Just this gun.
That's impossible. You had the look, the typical look. Why did you do everything you were told?
I wanted to see where it was all leading. I thought there might be some good in it for me later.
You purposely pretended? You mean you went ahead and consciously killed?
I figured you'd pay off heavy afterwards to keep me quiet. I found your wife and her lover just as you said I would. It was easy.
I should have known my control wasn't perfect when I saw my wife come running out of the house. She saw my car, came toward me. I waited, then gave it the gas.
I killed the man and you killed your wife. You wanted them both dead, didn't you?
Yes, but I didn't want to have to kill her myself. I loved her, but I hated her. She said I was too old for
her. That's what I wanted to hear.
What?
That's it, to hear you convict yourself.
What did you...
I was lying to you. Your control was perfect. You hypnotized me easily. I guess I've got a weak will or something.
Well, then what did you...
I was lying to you. I was hypnotized, all right. I happened to see your picture here in the house. I recognized you as Berg. And now I can't clear myself before the law ever. And you're going to pay for doing that to me now.
Now, wait a minute. Don't do that. Don't shoot. Now, look. Here, I have a watch. See it? Solid gold inset with diamonds and rubies. It's worth $20,000. It's yours if you'll let me go.
Stop dangling it that way. What are you trying to do?
Now, listen to me. Give me another minute. A minute by the watch.
Stay where you are. Now, don't move.
You don't want to shoot, do you, my friend? You wouldn't want to smash this beautiful, lustrous watch? A golden, shining little timepiece? You can't take your eyes from it, can you?
Please, don't. Take it away. Shining in my eyes.
But you love it. You're fascinated by it, aren't you? And now you're tired. You're very tired. And that gun is much too heavy for you to hold. Just drop the gun to the floor. And it won't be so heavy anymore.
Just drop the gun. Drop gun.
My control is perfect. Here, take this notebook and this pencil.
Take notebook, pencil.
Write as I dictate. I am wanted for the murder of two people at the Fleming house.
I wanted the murder two people at the Fleming house.
They are bound to get me, so I take this way out.
They are bound to get me, take way out.
Sign your name. There. Now give me the notebook and the pencil. Now pick up your gun again. Hurry. That's it. Now put the barrel of the gun in your mouth. Put the barrel of the gun in your mouth! Good. Now pull the trigger. Pull the trigger.
How is he, Sheriff?
He's dead.
We just made it in time. I didn't think he'd try anything like that. Vince. Vince, come out of it, boy.
I'm all right. It's just that everything's hazy.
Fleming really threw a trance on you. You were just going to blow your own head off when I plugged Fleming. Had to. Only way I could break the spell in time to save you.
You shot Fleming? Cliff, did I do it all right? Did I do everything you told me to do all right?
Perfect. I had a hunch it was hypnosis the minute you told me about the candle. But how was I going to prove it? Only by having you come up against Fleming. That's why I left you here. Wagner and I were in the basement with a dictaphone. We put a microphone in the ventilator. I didn't want to make you nervous. That's why I didn't tell you about it.
Then I'm free? I won't be tried for murder?
Not around here you won't. I'm sheriff here. This crime is solved.
Oh, thank heaven for that. I don't think I could go through a court trial. One nightmare in a lifetime is enough.
Valley 103.1 FM.
The White Rose Murders by Cornell Woolrich, which is tonight's tale of suspense. He stood there waiting. He knew that presently they would come out of the second-rate dance hall, out into the dimly lit street. He listened a while and smiled as the orchestra played that tune. Inside. And then they came out, the two girls, and still he waited, close enough to hear what they were saying.
Well, I'll see you at the office tomorrow, Sally.
Oh, I don't know how I'll get up. It's after 1 o'clock. 6 hours sleep. Oh, I'll be dead tomorrow.
Me too.
Oh, gosh, I gotta have at least 8 hours or I'm no good at all. I wish I had someone to walk me to the bus. It's 4 long blocks.
I'll walk you down, Sally.
Oh, don't bother. We go in different directions.
It's no trouble. Really, I don't mind.
Well, really, it's not necessary.
In the narrow alley that divides the dance hall from an ugly office building, he stood smiling. Just a little inside the alley, he stood stiffly against the wall, his head back, eyes closed, arms straight down, and in his left hand, a white rose.
Well, all right then, Sally.
Good night.
Good night, Joan. See you in the morning.
Oh, I hope I don't have to wait long for the bus.
Who are you? Keep away. Keep away from me. Let me go. Let me go.
The girl is dead. Tenderly, the figure straightens her hair and gently places the limp body on the ground. Then he opens her clenched fist, and carefully, so that the thorns will not bruise her flesh, he places in her hand the white rosebud.
Pardon me, my good man. Is it true that you are the famous detective Terence Riley?
Huh? Oh, Ginny, I didn't see you come in.
Well, now that I'm here, how about offering to buy a cup of coffee for the girl you're going to marry? If you can ever get up enough nerve to ask her.
Oh, it's no use, Ginny. I guess we better call it quits. I'm just a dick on the homicide squad, and that's all I'll ever be.
And I'm a rich debutante.
We don't belong together.
Oh, you've been reading too many of those romantic stories, Terry. What is it this time? What's wrong?
They call him the White Rose Killer. He's got to be caught. There's a general demotion coming on if he isn't, and that's all I need to get back into uniform.
Oh, don't worry, darling. You always look good in blue.
Yeah. Just to match the way I feel.
Tell me more about the White Rose Killer. What's he like?
That's the stumble. He could be anybody. No one's ever seen him except the dead, and they don't talk about it afterwards. Just slips out of the shadows and kills and then slips back again.
How many has he murdered?
4. He's not through yet. It's going to be one of those chain things if he's allowed to keep on.
Are you sure it's always the same one?
Yeah, that part of it we're sure of. It's the same touch, the same way of operating every time.
How do you know that?
Well, it's a rose. A white rosebud. Death rose. Puts it into each victim's hand after he kills her.
Her?
Yep. It's always a woman. A young woman between 19 and 23.
What's behind it? Do you have any idea?
Well, I'm not sure. But here's what I figured out. You know what a rose stands for. Symbolically, I mean.
Why, yes. It's the flower of love. The white rose, the bud, has another meaning. Purity, loyalty, devotion. And especially it stands for a young girl.
Well, that's right. And that's about the way I see it.
So maybe it's a double cross, committed against our murderer by some young girl whom he worshipped and who betrayed his faith in her.
You ought to be a detective, not me.
Thanks, darling. I've got a very fine teacher.
Sweet. There's another thing. The murders were all committed near places where there was music, dance halls, and cabarets and the like. There's a song that brings back the original shock that, you know, gives him the final push over into the darkness. As far as we can figure out, it's the beer barrel polka.
Well, how does he commit the murder? Is it always the same way?
Always. Strangulation between the hands, with a thumb into the windpipe to keep his victims from crying out.
But isn't there anything else you know about him?
No, that's why it's so hopeless. He's insane, of course. But there's only this one phase to his insanity. Probably perfectly normal in appearance and behavior. You could pass him on the street and even know it. Well, it's only when he sees someone vaguely like the girl he loved and hears that song, the one defective wire in him is jangled and short circuit.
But Terry, the flowers, don't the flowers tell you? He must get them somewhere you could trace.
Well, we don't know where he gets them. Maybe he steals them or...
Terry, what if you were the one to get him?
Well, it would mean a citation and a promotion.
And then all the things that stand between us would disappear? We could get married?
Well, the chances would be a lot better anyway. But what chance have I? Everyone in the department has been working their heads off for weeks and they've all failed.
Uh-huh. Terry, what were the girls like? The ones he killed?
Well, as I told you, they were all between 19 and 23. Their heights were pretty much the same, too. They were all tall girls, around 5'6" or 7". A little taller than you. And all dark-haired.
How did they wear their hair?
Why, they... Say, what is this?
Oh, nothing, darling. Just interested. How did they wear their hair?
Well, from what I remember, they wore it sort of loose and curly down the back.
I suppose each one had a resemblance to that long-dead love of his.
That's probably it. Well, anyway, that's how the record stands. And we're all waiting for it to happen again.
I see. Terry, I'd like to go home now.
I shouldn't have told you all that stuff. I've given you the creeps.
Oh, come on, Terry. Take me home.
Later, Jenny stands by the window in her room, looking out, thinking. She doesn't move for a long time. Then suddenly, quickly, she goes to her closet and begins to rummage through her many pairs of shoes. Carefully, she picks one pair with 3-inch heels.
5'6" or 7".
Then she walks quickly to the dresser, opens a drawer, takes out a comb and starts redoing her hair.
Worn loose and curly down the back. Well, here we go. Edward! Edward!
Yes, miss?
Is the car ready?
Yes, Miss Virginia. I've been waiting for you.
Let's go before Mother sees me.
Your mother's been looking for you, miss.
I hope you didn't tell her.
No, Miss Virginia, I didn't.
Good. Come on, Edward.
Where do you wish to go, Miss Virginia?
The Starlight Dance Hall on Grove and 2nd Street.
The Starlight, miss?
Yes, Edward, that's the place.
I wouldn't go there unescorted if I were you, miss. It's one of the worst places in the city. It has a very bad reputation.
The Starlight Dance Hall, Edward.
Very good, miss. Very good.
Jenny walks slowly around the low-lighted dance hall, trying to make herself conspicuous. A tall figure leaning against a pillar watches her intently as he idly smokes a cigarette. He doesn't seem to belong there. His clothes don't have the nattiness of a dance lover. Jenny pauses not far from him. Deliberately, he throws his cigarette on the floor, steps on it, and slowly walks over to her.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
You're not with anyone, are you?
Oh, no, I'm alone.
I thought so. I've been watching you all the time.
Have you?
I haven't seen you dance yet.
I don't know anyone here.
How about dancing with me, then?
All right.
Come on, let's go out on the floor.
Do you come here often?
No. I never go to the same place twice.
You don't? Why?
I'm always looking for new faces. I'm restless.
Do you find the faces you're looking for?
Listen. Listen to that song. I like that. I like it very much.
Yes, it is a nice song.
You know, you remind me of someone I used to know. I'm trying to think who.
I do?
Yeah. You mind if we stop dancing and go over and get a drink?
No, let's go.
Oh, look. They sell flowers here.
Yes, I see.
I'll get you some. What kind would you like?
Oh, any kind. You pick it out.
All right. Let's see. There's something kind of innocent and young about you. Different from most of the girls that come here.
Can't we stay here a little longer?
It's intermission now. They won't play again for 10 minutes. Come on.
But I like it here. Let's stay a little while longer.
Ellen, let's get down for some air. We can come back in a few minutes. Come on.
But...
we'll be back before the music starts.
Oh, you're hurting my arm.
Am I? I'm sorry. Fresh air smells good, doesn't it?
So dark here. Let's go back.
You're not scared, are you?
Oh, no, it's
let's walk just down this alley and back.
Please.
No, you
let
don't.
Me go.
Thanks.
That's a lovely necklace, beautiful.
Why, you're just a cheap...
Shut up!
All you wanted was my necklace.
So long, beautiful.
Look out!
What's the matter?
Behind you, look.
Holy... She's dead. A girl. Murdered.
With a white rosebud in her hand.
Well, Jenny, happened again last night. Just like the other times. The girl strangled in an alley and a white rose in her hand.
Any news of the killer?
No. He might just as well float through the air for all the trace he leaves.
He must have bought the flower upstairs in the dance hall. He must have been there earlier, bought it, and saved it under...
No, there was only one rose sold up there all night. And to a man who had a different girl with him. We had the flower girl. How did you know that they sold flowers there? I didn't tell you.
Well, I must have read it somewhere.
You couldn't have. It wasn't in any of the papers. No details were given, just the statement that an unidentified body was found.
Well, I just imagined that they'd sell flowers in a place like that.
Well, I'm glad you don't go near those dance halls. Why, with this nut running around loose...
Oh, don't bother about that. We'd better catch this killer. And fast.
Where do you get this wee stuff? To hear you talk, you'd think that you were on the case, too.
Wouldn't you think so? To hear me talk?
Again, Jenny tours the low dives, hunting for the white rose killer. Her search carries her to the waterfront. And as she walks past each dingy bar, she listens to the jukebox music. A little after midnight, she passes a dirty-windowed saloon. The thin music catches her ear. She pauses and listens, her eyes alive for some sign, some indication of the person she's looking for. Then suddenly her body becomes rigid as her eyes fall upon a figure. Huddled in the shadows.
Someone's watching me.
Slowly, she starts to walk up the street. Behind her, the heavy tread of a man's footsteps keep pace with hers. It's a quiet tread, unhurried but deliberate. For several blocks, it keeps the exact distance. Jenny starts to walk faster.
I've got to know if he's really following me.
The man quickens his pace. Jenny starts across the street. The man follows. She's sure now, sure that the man is following her. She fumbles for something in her purse. Her hand closes around a gun.
If he tries anything, I'll shoot.
You in any trouble, lady?
Oh, no, officer. It's all right. You scared him away.
Scared who away?
Oh, just a man who wanted to bring me flowers. That's all.
Well, he brought you one anyhow, lady.
What do you mean?
Right there on the ground, right by your feet. A white rose.
Coffee, Mabel.
Sure, coming right up. Here you are. Terry. Terry.
Hello, Jenny. Sit down.
Thank you.
Say, what's the matter with you?
Look, darling, read the gossip column in this paper.
What daughter of a socially prominent family is that way about a detective and waits for him outside the station house in her limousine every night? Private chauffeur and all. But Mama says no. That's not so funny.
Oh, they held a big family war council over me just now. Indian powwow, feathered headdress and everything.
They did, huh? Well, what'd they decide?
Oh, I was asked to give my word that I wouldn't see you anymore. I refused, of course, so I'm to be exiled.
Where to?
Our summer home. It's just a few hours out of town, but I'll be there all by myself. Just with Mrs. Crosby, the housekeeper.
Oh, maybe they're right. Why don't you listen to them?
Are you on their side, too?
No. When are you leaving?
Right away. Edwards is driving me out. I just slipped out to let you know. Here's the address and phone number of the place in case you want to reach me. Don't lose it.
I won't.
Well, what's new and exciting about the White Rose Killer?
Our famous lover of flowers? We're still trying to track him down. I suppose I'll go looking for him at the flower show that's just opened.
Oh, a flower show just opened?
Yeah.
Well, goodbye now. I'll be seeing you. What floor is the flower show, please?
Third floor, miss.
Three, please.
Third floor.
Where's the rose display, please?
To your left, over there. See where the man in the gray coat is?
In the gray coat? Oh, yes, thank you. They are lovely, aren't they?
Oh, you startled me.
I'm sorry. I was just admiring the roses.
Oh, yes, the nicest flowers here. I just can't keep my eyes off them.
Yes, you can feel that way about some flowers.
Now, that's the way I feel about white roses.
Have you been here long?
I really don't know. I suppose so. You see, I've come here every day since the show opened. I like to be near the roses, the white roses.
Those big ones are nice.
No, I like the little ones best, the little tightly curled rosebuds. They're so little and innocent. Oh, well, I really better be going. Are you going down?
Yes.
Down, please.
Here, miss, I took a rose for you.
Thank you. It's lovely.
Would you care to have a drink with me?
Why, yes, thank you.
I know of a little place a block or two down. They have nice music. We'll go there.
All right, whatever you say.
This is it.
Where's the music?
A nickel in the jukebox does it. Any special song you'd like?
No. Go ahead and pick one.
Okay. There we are. Oh, that's my favorite song. Reminds me of a girl I used to know.
Excuse me, I want to powder my nose. I'll be right back. Do you mind?
No, of course not.
Seventh Police Precinct. Sergeant Thomas speaking.
Hello, is Terry Riley there?
Just a moment, I'll see.
Please hurry, it's important.
No, sorry, miss. Terry Riley's not here just now.
Oh. Will you tell him that I can't keep that date with him. Goodbye.
Do you always go to the phone booth when you want to powder your nose?
Why, I had to make a call.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm afraid I'll have to leave you.
Oh, wait. Let me come with you.
I'm sorry, miss, but I've got other things to do.
Oh.
What's the matter?
That car. Someone that knows me. Let's get away from here.
That's just what I'm going to do. So long, lady.
Wait. Please don't go.
Miss Virginia. I'm sorry, Miss Virginia, but I must speak to you for a minute.
Oh, Edwards. What do you want?
I'm sorry, miss. You'd better come with me at once. I've been looking for you everywhere. Your mother's been taken seriously ill.
Mother? Where is she?
She's out at the country place, miss. I drove her there shortly before dinner. She wanted to pay you a surprise visit.
Oh.
I believe the shock of not finding you there upset her, miss.
Is she very bad?
She had the doctor with her when I left. Mrs. Crosby has gone away for the day. Your mother needs you, miss.
Well, let's go. Hurry, Edwards, please.
Right, miss.
Edwards?
Where is Mother Edwards?
In her room, miss. You'd better hurry.
Mother. Mother. It's Ginny. Is the doctor in there with you? Mother. Why, there's no one here. The room's empty. The bed hasn't been touched. Edwards, what are you doing?
Merely playing a song, miss. A favorite of mine.
A favorite?
Yes, Miss Virginia.
Where's Mother?
She's in the city, miss.
You lied to me.
I'm afraid I did, Miss Virginia.
Why are you locking the door?
You know why, Miss Virginia.
It can't be. You are not the...
The White Rose Killer? But you see, I am, Miss Virginia. Driving you and your family around day after day. Sitting there right in front of you all the time. It was amusing to watch you hunting for me. Hunting for someone you saw several times a day.
It can't be. You're not insane.
Of course not. Who said I was?
Edward, you know I'm not the girl who betrayed you.
Yes, I know that.
Well, then unlock the door and let me out. Please, Edward.
I've killed 5 times. I've never regretted it. I'm going to kill you, Miss Virginia.
Why, Edwards? Why?
Because you've been so clever. Too clever. You made yourself look like her, the girl who deceived me. I could have killed you the day you first went out looking for me, but I had to be careful.
Oh.
I almost caught you that night at the waterfront, the night I dropped the White Rose when that police car came.
Edwards, I've never done you any harm.
Your sweetheart, Terry. He loves you, doesn't he?
Yes.
That's good. Because now you won't be able to deceive him like my girl deceived me.
Keep away, Edward. Keep away or I'll...
You thought you'd use your gun, eh? Well, don't think I was fool enough to overlook that. I took your gun out of your purse.
It won't do you any good to kill me, Edward. I didn't have anything to do with...
No. And you're not going to have a chance to break another man's heart like she broke mine.
Jenny! Where are you?
Terry!
It won't do you any good to call to him. He can't get in here without breaking down the door.
Keep away from me. Terry!
It'll be too late then, because I'm going to kill you now.
Jenny! Where are you?
Terry!
Just let me get my hands on that pretty white throat.
Oh, keep away! Keep away from me! Terry! Stop!
Jenny, are you all right?
Yes, Terry, I'm all right.
Oh, take it easy. Here, sit down.
Oh, Terry, I was so scared. There was nobody here but Edwards and I. How did you know where I was?
Oh, it was simple. You were supposed to meet me at the coffee shop. You never broke an appointment, and when you didn't show up, I called the number you gave me. You told me the housekeeper was here all the time. And when there was no answer, I got suspicious and came down. Besides, when I got a message down at headquarters that you had to break a date with me, I knew something was wrong. Are you sure you're all right?
Yes, Terry. Look. On the floor beside Edwards.
A white rose. It must have fallen out of his pocket.
That was meant for me. Oh, Terry, it's all crushed.
Yeah. Crushed and dead.
Just like the White Rose Killer.
Inspector Howard, I asked to have you come up here today because I wanted to explain this case in person.
Well, I'm anxious to hear about it, sir.
On the 654 train from Chicago West today, there'll be a private car. In that car will be James Mayhew. He's carrying with him almost $1 million in jewels, which he wishes to take to the West Coast. He trusts no one with him.
Whew.
Now, I want you to watch the entrance of that private car like a hawk. One of our trainmen, Mr. Barnes, will join you at the train. He'll have a letter from me.
All right, sir. I'll do my best to prevent an accident.
You know, I've been a railroad man all my life, Inspector. Used to be a conductor right on one of these trains.
Yes, I know. You showed me that in the letter when you met me in Chicago. By the way, you're sure Mayhew is alone in there?
Yes, except for the steward. You know, though, I think I'll just step back there and see if everything's all right before it's time for him to go to bed.
Okay, I'll wait here for you.
Mr. Inspector.
Yeah, what's the matter?
I'm the steward for Mr. Mayhew's car, sir. An awful thing has happened.
Yeah, what is it?
Well, they sent me to the galley for something. Well, sir, when I came back, Mr. Barnes was gone, and there was Mr. Mayhew, shot, sir. Shot right through the head.
Well, come on, let's get in there, fast. Where is he?
Right there, sir. Right there on the floor.
Yeah. He's dead, all right. Where's Barnes?
I don't know, sir. I don't know. He was gone when I came back.
Yeah, what's that?
I don't know, sir.
Hey, quick, it's in that locker. Open it up. Barnes! What's happened? Here, wait, I'll have that gag off in a jiffy.
Boy, that's Stuart. Hold him. Grab him quick before he gets away.
No, no.
He hit me over the head and then bound and gagged me. I came to when he put me in that locker there. Then I heard a shot. His Mayhew.
Yes, he's dead, Barnes. Shot through the head.
The jewels.
I haven't had time to look.
Search the steward. He hasn't. He'd planned to throw me off the train and make his getaway at the next stop.
Did you notice what time it was when you came to, Barnes?
Yes, I did. I got my hands free and I could see through one of the air holes. It was 9 minutes to 11.
I didn't do it, sir. I swear I didn't.
I'm sure you didn't, Stuart. In fact, just to prove it, Barnes, I'm putting you under arrest. At least until we can reach Chicago by telephone.
Me? Under arrest?
What? Yes, Barnes. You made one mistake. And I'm willing to take a chance that'll hang you. When I asked you what time it was, you said it was 9 minutes to 11. Any railroad man with the experience the real Barnes has had would naturally say 10:51. You've been impersonating Barnes, went in and shot Mayhew, and locked yourself in the locker, gagged. And just to prove it...
No,
the jewels are right here in your pocket. Nice work, Barnes, but not nice enough.
Now's the time to roll the barrel for the gang all here.
Blow out the barrel. We'll have a barrel of fun. Blow out the barrel. We've got the blues on the run. Carraro, bring out a song of good cheer. Now's the time to roll the barrel for the gang's all here.
Sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in spine chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge. The door is slowly closing for Radio Masterpieces, but be sure and tune in again next week from 9 to 10 p.m. to listen to more wonderful mysteries from the 1940s and 50s. This is Bruce Kaplan signing off. Radio Masterpieces is a Seattle Miracle Incorporated production.